Barnett from Private Eye SBA.
Welcome to a special presentation between .com and the Den. It is autumn preview time. The Festival of Racing down Victoria Way is about to start. I've got one of Australia's favourite punters, Mr. Daniel O'Sullivan, in the Den to have a good chat about everything that's going to happen in the autumn. We are all in on autumn, aren't we, Dano?
Yeah, it's great. I mean, Carnival rolls on. The good horses are starting to come back. We've seen a few trialers, a couple of early sort of lead-up races, feature races. So, yeah, racing's good. Time to get involved.
Yeah, how was summer? You had a bit of a break,
was good.
Did you?
Great freshen up over the sort of Christmas period. So, yeah, back and ready to roll for the new year. Yeah.
Time to get serious, back
it
to
is.
Work.
Hey? Yeah, definitely.
Excellent. All right, so just to let you know how this is going to work. So there's some really big Group 1 races over the autumn down in Melbourne. There are 10 Group 1 races in total. And what we'll do is we'll have a little bit of a look at the context and the conditions of each race. Then we'll have a look at the market. And then Dano's picked out three horses that interest him mostly from a betting perspective. And we'll sort of break down them. We'll play a few clips along the way as well. It's going to be good fun. Let's get into it, Dano. Let's start with the CF Or Stakes. We're going to play a clip of Mr. Brightside winning it last year. He was a short price favourite. Pride of Jenny was in the race as well. She doesn't quite get there. Here he comes down the outside and wins it. He's obviously going to have a lot to say and play in this year's edition of it. Yep. But Dan, just tell us a bit about the CFO, the conditions, the context of it.
Yeah, well, as we know, it's the kickoff point for many of the Wait for Age horses, 1400. Interestingly, I mean, there'll be a few horses running that have probably already had one lead-up run. It's typically looked at as a first-uppers race, but six of the last 10 winners have had weren't first up, so that's worth keeping in mind if you find something you like that don't be afraid to sort of take on the first up horses. But Mr. Brightside won last year and he's definitely a horse of interest this year.
And so probably let's go look at the market now. I'd say Schwartz would be the most interesting runner. So devastating win in the Australia Stakes. A lot of people query the quality of that race. Southport Tycoon was in the race, so we'll talk about him a little bit later. But that's the perfect kind of horse who's going to come in this. Is going to be fitter than Mr. Brightside, you would think. Got that race experience on him. Obviously, Mr. Brightside is a much superior horse.
Yep.
But there's the market. What did you sort of pull out of it for us to discuss?
Look, I think it's fair enough. Mr. Brightside's clear favourite. He won the race last year. He's just got this bank of ratings that are just better than all of those other horses at this stage. I mean, it's not a massive edge, but when you're talking about the top level, you know, a length or a length and a half or two lengths is quite a big gap. His record at Caulfield 1400 is unbelievable. I think he's six runs for five wins and a second, three group ones or something. So, I mean, it's very hard to go past, not that you're going to be diving into the 280. Another Will's an interesting horse. I think he's...
I'll just stop you there. While we talk about Another Will, I'm just going to play a clip of him winning the Linlithgow or the Damien Oliver during Cup Week. It was a very emotional win. Away you go.
Yeah, I think he's a developing horse for Kieran Maher. I think his last two runs, I think they were both at 1400, were his career best. Now, his ratings are that sort of length and a half off Mr. Brightside, but just the way Kieran brings horses along and the fact that his last two ratings were his best, I mean, we could see him go to another level this prep, and I think that sort of puts him in the mix as he is in the market. Yeah, I think he deserves plenty of respect.
And you found a bit of a roughie for us, Desert Lightning.
Yeah, I think he's a great long shot. He's a Kiwi that came over to Peter Moody and Catherine Coleman's stable. I'm not sure if he's aimed at this race, but if he is, I think he's a better chance than I think he's $26 or something in current markets. I mean, he ran a very good race over 1200 first up last spring, and then he ran a rating winning over 1500 at Sandown at Group 3 level that, yeah, puts him right in the mix, you know, on par or slightly ahead of a horse like Another Will. And he's got an even better rating at 1600 in New Zealand. So he's a horse that's got quite a few ratings that put him right in the mix of this race. So if there's any word that he's going to target this race first up, then yeah, he's definitely a long shot, can run a race, I think.
Fantastic. Let's move and go to the Lightning, the 1,000-metre Wait for Age race. Let's watch Imperatrice winning the race last year. She really dug in and showed a lot of champion qualities to win here. Just tell us a bit about the race overall, your interpretation of it.
Yeah, it's Wait for Age, 1,000 metres. A lot of the good sprinters will kick off here, especially some of the three-year-olds. Last year's race was very, very slowly run, and they dashed up 400. That's why we saw quite a compressed finish there, and Imperatrice showed her fighting qualities. But I think... yeah, this year, be interesting race, be headed by Switzerland, as you
so
can see there,
on the market.
I read that he's set to resume in this race, and then he'll go to the new market before they eye off a trip to Royal Ascot with him. So that's really interesting. He's winning the Coolmore.
Yeah, let's bring it up now. Here's him winning in the Coolmore on Derby Day, just bolt into the lead right now. Gives Growing Empire, who we're going to talk about as well in the green there, gives it Winburn.
Yeah, 106.3 rating. That was the dominant sprinter's rating of wow. the spring yeah. three-year-olds, older horses or,
everyone,
or anything.
Yeah, the, so you're saying it was the best sprinting performance of the spring.
Yeah, definitely. By margin as well. We're in a bit of a lull in terms of the older sprinters at the moment. So yeah,
look how much J-Mac loved it.
Yeah, he brings the sort of dominant figure to the race. He'll be wound up. He's got that profile to protect. So yeah, I expect, as the market indicates. Like
yeah, so that's the most interesting point. You think the Coolmore won't want him to come out and run a dud race in the Lightning. So he'll be, well, I'll have him round up, ready to go. J-Mac will yep. be on.
A million yeah. percent. Yeah, we saw Home Affairs, also Coolmore Horse, win this race a couple of years ago, first up. Nature Strip probably a bit unlucky that day when he had some trouble at the start. But yeah, there's absolutely no doubt they'll have him 100% wound up, ready to go in this race.
Horse that I'm most excited about this autumn.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, if you can win a Coolmore and then come back and win a Lightning first up against older horses, it really yeah. cements you as a serious sprinter, and that's obviously what they're looking to build with him.
And the Royal Ascot target's really exciting as well.
Yeah, it is. I mean, that give him a global profile, and I think it's very realistic.
Yeah, right?
That Coolmore rating puts him, you know, right in the mix for those sort of races, and there's nothing to say that he won't be better in the autumn.
All right, let's talk about a couple of Kieran Ma horses. Firstly, yep. Estriella needs that Group One, can't quite get there. The Ma stable keeps saying she's a Group One mare,
yep.
but she's got to do it, doesn't she?
Yeah, she's going to be at odds. I like her at 1,000 metres fresh. Yep. She ran, you know, good rating first up in the Moya last spring where she was wide without cover. Her peak came up the Flemington Straight over 1,100, which was better again. And of course, she's going to have to improve to win this race. But as you said, Kieran Ma, especially last spring, was very bullish that she was a Group One sprinting talent. They've got, you know, a lot of data and references, that team. So for them to say that, there must be good reason behind it. She didn't quite measure up to that in the spring, so maybe she can in the autumn.
Yeah, Growing Empire. So he just has to win a Group One. Do you think there's a huge importance on it? Like he's run... What did he run? He ran third in the Everest. He ran second in the Manicato. So he's. But do you think they can't send him to stud for the value they want unless he gets that Group One win?
Oh, definitely in terms of valuation. I mean, a horse can still go to stud. There's been plenty of horses that haven't won a Group One. Some of the best sires that we've
I'm
seen.
Invincible.
Yeah, fit that profile. But yeah, Connection's obviously super keen to win a Group One. We saw there in the Coolmore though that he was no match for Switzerland on that particular day. At this stage, he came into the spring as a horse that, you know, really could elevate and be that top-class sprinter, and he just sort of plateaued a little bit, so maybe the autumn will be his time. At this stage, I think the market opinion of him is probably a touch ahead of where he's actually is, so okay. He's definitely a horse of interest for the race first up. But yeah, from my perspective, especially from a betting perspective, I'm generally sort of looking to work around him. Yeah.
Fair enough. Okay, we're going to move to the Blue Diamond. So it's always hard to line up all these two-year-olds this early in the season. We did get a bit of context because we had the previews over the weekend. Obviously, it's a, you know, I'll just quickly touch on the conditions. It's a 1,200-metre race for two-year-olds. The fillies get a little bit of weight off the males. Yep. Let's move straight to the market here, and I'll let you take it away.
Yeah, so My Gladiola, she won last weekend the preview in the fillies division.
Well, let's bring her up now. Let's bring up the clip of her winning. And you've got something interesting to say about her.
Yeah, I thought this was a terrific win. They smashed the colts on the clock. And I really just love the way here that she let down, stretched out and chased. You can see her hitting the front here. She's very strong to the line. For me, that's the second best two-year-old performance of the season so far behind Woden, who won impressively in Sydney a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, so I think she's well and truly put the writing on the wall. The thing to note about the two-year-old race is obviously 1 week and one race can change the entire landscape. But you know, historically, these preview and prelude races are the best guide to the race, and she certainly stamped her credentials with that win last week.
Yeah. Move on to another horse you interested in, Cherish Me.
Yeah, look, her win at Geelong, she was very strong late. To the second horse has since won well at Flemington. I think even the fourth horse, Yolo, came out, went to Sydney and ran competitive there. So all the form stacking up around her. She needs to be much better than that win at Geelong, but it was, you know, debut performance. And historically, when you look back over, especially two-year-olds, the really good horses can rate solid without being great first up, and then they really elevate at their second start. So, if she's a smart horse, then I'd expect, you know, to see good elevation, which would put her in the mix for the race as well.
And finally, Point Barrow.
Yeah, I just saw, I think he was $34 in the market. So he's drifted out a bit from a price I noted earlier. So I don't know if that's a sign that maybe he's not ready to go to the race. But I think he's worth highlighting. He ran on debut in the Mersenne Cooper back in November. He was very green there. Partway through the race, he was getting up onto heels. I wanted to race a bit keenly. And then when he was clear in the straight, he just wanted to sort of duck in. But he still ran a very powerful last 200 metres. And he gave me the impression of a horse that's got a stack of talent, but he's just not sort of putting it all together yet. So, yeah, he's a horse to keep a close eye on if we do see him in the autumn, because I think if they get his education right, he can start to race more tractably, then he's a horse that, yeah, could just explode and sort of turn into a decent horse. So, yeah, $34, as I said, I'm not sure if he's actually going to the race, but he's probably got more talent than that price suggests, yeah.
Okay. On that same day, the 22nd of February, we've got two big group ones as well, complementing the Blue Diamond, the Oakley Plate, 1,100 metre handicap race. There's the market.
You touched on a really important point there. This is a handicap race, so the weights are important. Typically, for me, I'm looking for horses that are down in the weights and are probably better than what their official rating is showing at the moment. So they're more or less, you know, beating the handicapper a little bit. I think just in that market there, Switzerland's 100-1 to go to the race. I wouldn't think he'll be there. Growing Empire potentially could, if
chasing that group one.
Just chasing group ones, right? So depending how he goes in the Lightning, and yeah, a lot of those other horses probably will run in the race. So yeah, it's a great race every year. It's usually a very competitive finish. The handicap weights do play an important role.
All right, let's talk about the horses you've picked out. They're all interesting ones. First up, Nyance. And here's a clip of Nyance winning the Hound Now at Caulfield back in the spring. Was favourite on the day, goes to lead and just goes on with it.
Yeah, I think she has a really nice profile for the race. She's probably going to get in 51, 52 kilos. This run here, she had the wind and pattern against her. I think she was the only on-pace horse to win all day there at Caulfield. It was, you know, good rating for a horse that's going to be down in the weights in the Oakley Plate. She had a similar strong win, her start prior to that one, 1,100 at Caulfield. And yeah, she fits that profile for me, a horse that's better, I think better than what her handicap rating is. I assume she'll be targeted at the race. It seems like a perfect race to head for, a chance to win a group one. And yeah, I think she's a sprinting mare with quite a bit of substance that might still have her best ahead. So I thought, yeah, she's big odds in the market. I thought she's, great chance.
All right, great. Let's move to Nadal. Now we have breaking news about Nadal. We just saw something pop up on racing.com saying that Nadal is in doubt for the autumn. It literally happened, was about to come on air. So we're just going to talk about Nadal in the same context, but tread carefully around him, because maybe by the time you see this on air, he might have been ruled out for the autumn. What do you make of Nadal?
Yeah, it'd be disappointing if he is out. That win at Cranbourne in the meteorite was phenomenal and sort of tagged him as, you know, a really good sprinter. He's got that get-back style, which makes him a bit subject to luck and pace and things like that. But again, just on talent, another horse that's better than his handicap rating me down in the weight. So, yeah, if it's, you know, the issue's not as bad as maybe first reported and we see him, I think he's in the mix. But, yeah, there's every chance that he may be out.
Okay,
yeah.
Hidden Wealth, Tony Golan horse, Ruffy.
Yeah, look, I've got no idea if his Queensland horse is going to be coming down. He's been racing recently in Queensland, but he's hit a purple patch of form. I think he's like 50s or something in the market. Probably not coming given he's been racing in Queensland recently. But Tony Golan has brought plenty of horses down to Melbourne for these types of races in the past. So, yeah, if he comes down, he's a horse with sustained speed that can sort of get out there and might be able to do something. This race, I think, a good chunk of recent winners have been sort of within two lengths of the lead. So even though it's often a hot pace, it is, you know, very much about being able to take up a position and then sort of kick off that. As we said, I think horses like Switzerland won't run. So there's plenty there that may not end up going. And yeah, we're looking for, I think, in general, that the lightly raced improving type. Yeah.
Great. Okay, we're going to move to the Futurity. Now, the Futurity, 1,400 metre weight for age, is exactly the same conditions as the CF4. We're not going to spend too much time talking about this race, because whatever happens in the CF4 will have a huge amount of impact on who goes to this race and the market and everything. So there's the market. Is there anything you want to say about it, Dano, before we move on from it?
Yeah, I think it's just worth quickly mentioning I Wish I Win. Just in the last 24 hours, sort of news come out that he might be targeting this race. Certainly on his best form, he's a good match for Mr. Brightside at 1,400 metres. I think he might have run second to Mr. Brightside in the Memsie, maybe over 1,400. So he's got that reference there. So yeah, you know, keep a watch on that sort of news. As we discussed in the OR, you know, Mr. Brightside sort of better than most of those other horses. And obviously what happens in that race will have a big bearing as well.
Yeah, all right, we're going to move on. We're going to go to the Australian Guineas. And as we get to the Australian Guineas, we start to get to the period where there's a lot going on in New South Wales. Yeah. And that's going to start to impact all these races down in Victoria, because it's hard to know whether particular horses are going to be down there. But to start with, let's have a look at Southport Tycoon winning the Guineas last year. Of course, Riff Rocket was favourite, couldn't do it on the day. Here's Southport Tycoon trucking up. I think it's going past V8 there, isn't it?
Yep.
Goes on to have a great win. Just quickly, Southport Tycoon, very disappointing in the Australian Stakes. What do you think they do with it? Do they keep going on? Because obviously it's a stallion. It's a two-time Group 1 winner. Can go to stud with Widden Stud for a decent fee. Mm-hmm. Do they have another throw at the stumps over autumn, or do they just put him away right away?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, that Australian Guineas win was a good win. He sat handy to a strong speed and was strongest late. And then he showed last spring winning the Group 1 over 1,200. I mean, it's, you know, horse to do at a mile, and then at 1,200, he's obviously got a good degree of talent. If he was fully wound up for that race and the other Friday night and he ran the way he
Australian
did.
Stakes,
yeah. Australian Stakes, yeah, it would... yeah, it'd have to be a query about continuing. But if they felt he went into it a bit underdone, then, yeah, why not have another shot? Because, yeah, I think he's a horse with plenty of talent. And,
Fair enough. Let's have a look at the market. So Savaglee is up the top there. We're going to have a good talk about Savaglee, the New Zealander horse. First horse you wanted to talk about was Sneaky Sunrise from the Hayes stable, a sneaky little roughie that you think maybe could have a bit of a showing in this race if it thins out a lot and a lot of the horses that are shown there don't line up. Why don't you just quickly tell us of the horses you think probably won't go to the Australian Guineas?
Yeah, I don't think Linebacker will go. I think he'll be aimed at the Randwick Guineas. Private Life, interesting one. Chris Wallace stable.
Caulfield Guineas winner, of course.
Yeah, Caulfield Guineas winner. So there's every reason to come back to Melbourne and sort of chase another Group 1. But again, trained out of Sydney, Chris generally prefers the autumn races in Sydney for his good horses compared to Melbourne. So he may stay. Mayfair probably stay in Sydney. Captured by Love's a Kiwi filly that may end up coming over. Yeah, and then we sort of get into to sort of second and third tier chances and beyond. So, yeah, this race could really thin out depending on who comes and sort of who stays in Sydney. Yeah.
Okay, so what appeals to you about Sneaky Sunrise?
Yeah, look, as a two-year-old, she raced through the winter. We didn't see her in the spring. She put a couple of nice ratings together that still look, you know, a level or 11 and a half below this race. But she's by the autumn sun, so I think it's inevitable that, all being well, she'll be much better as a three-year-old than a two-year-old. And if she can elevate just, as I said, that sort of, you know, one level or level and a half, then it's going to put her right in the mix for this race, which could be, you know, relatively sort of lower rating addition compared to sort of normal Group 1 standards. So, again, need to see if she's targeting the race. I think she won a jump out earlier this week, so she's up and running.
Well, if the Hayes boys think she's any chance, they'll be putting her in it.
So, yeah. And it's not unrealistic. She's got plenty of stamina, you know, and you're running well over 1,600 as a two-year-old. She does have a bit of a turn of foot. So, yeah, not listed in the market there. I think she's $26 or even longer.
She's definitely
worth, you know, looking at, especially as, she want to jump out the other
day. Private Life, you've already talked about her a bit. Anything more to add there?
Yeah, I just think he's potentially a really good horse for Chris. He won the Caulfield Guineas and then he dropped back and ran so well in that champion sprint. Like, to do that, you know, requires a fair degree of talent. So he's definitely a horse to keep an eye on this autumn, whether he stays in Sydney or does come to Melbourne. I think if he does, he's, you know, probably the horse to beat in this race. So, yeah, if I owned him, I'd potentially be looking to maybe take the slightly easier option.
All right, well, let's talk about the horse that the bookies think is the horse to beat. Savaglee, New Zealand horse. He's a nice colt. Let's watch him winning the Levin Classic. He's about to go the lead here in the white with the blue cap. Tell us a bit about this horse, please, mate.
Yeah, he's a Kiwi three-year-old star. He's been dominating over there. He's won his last four. First up, over 1,400 metres here. You know, quite dominant. He won the 2,000 Guineas over 1,600 with a good rating that's, you know, right up to all the horses we're talking about, you know, going to come in this race. Kiwis have generally got a great record at bringing their horses over here. They seem to know the right ones to bring. He's going to run next in a couple of weeks in the BCD Sprint.
Which is CF4 Stakes Day, the 8th of February. Yep,
over 1,400 against older horses at Group 1 weight for age. He'll probably be second favourite in the market there. There's a mare, Grail Seeker, who's going to be a dominant favourite. She won the Telegraph Sprint over 1,200 there in a you know, quite an impressive rating that's clearly better than Savage Lee at the moment. So that's the way the market will likely shape up.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess, yeah, if he runs well there, he'll be on the plane coming over here and tackle the Australian Guineas, which would be great to see. Add a lot of interest to the race because I think
it could thin out.
Yeah, yeah. And it needs sort of something to sort of pep it up a bit.
All right, let's move on to the big one. One of my favourite races of the year, the All-Star Mile. And while we start talking about the All-Star Mile, let's watch this. It was carnage at Caulfield last year. Pride of Jenny went the lead. Willow went to sleep a little bit on Mr. Brightside and they could never catch her. It was one of the races of the year, wasn't it? I think the interesting here is leading up to the All-Star Mile last year, it was a bit ho-hum. Everyone was like, oh, I don't know if it's going to come together. And then that's what happened. And maybe that'll happen again this year.
Yeah, that was an elite performance there. There was a lot of discussion about tactics on Mr. Brightside at the time. I was in the campus saying it made absolutely no difference. Mm-hmm. Cascadian ran home quicker than him, so Mr. Brightside had every chance to do more there. Pride of Jenny was just too good on the day and sort of went on after that. We saw, I think she was run down maybe by Cascadian in the Australian Cup.
And then everyone forgets about it, and then she did what she did in the
Queen Elizabeth, one of the real highlights. So. So Mr. Brightside heading this market, as we discussed before, just again, you know, that strong bank of ratings. Miles, a great trip for him, is obviously going to be the one to beat. A lot of these other horses, I don't think will go there. Antino reportedly is because he's been racing in Hong Kong, he's going to be held back for Queensland. Via Sistina, almost no chance of being there. Broadsiding, I'd be shocked. Same as Chia Wolf, who I think is going to be aiming for the Queen Elizabeth. Buckaroo, potentially. If they're looking to dodge via Sistina.
I think once you get to this second half, because you said that all those elite horses up there are not going to go, it really opens things up for all these horses listed here to target. I mean, it's a $2.5 million Group 1 race. It's got a lot going for it.
Yeah.
And I think you also said that on the same day there's a race up in Sydney, which is like one, maybe the $1 million Very Elegance around the same time.
Yeah, it's the week before. So sort of horses that are targeting the Autumn Carnival in Sydney, Very Elegant, Randvet, Queen Elizabeth are going to be, you know, most likely running in this race.
And there's no doubt some of those horses, the New South Wales trainers will be looking at this and they think there are chances. It's $1.5 million more Group 1. There's some good horses will come down.
Definitely. It's a great race to target. You've really... So we said Mr. Brightside's probably clearly the one to beat, maybe Buckaroo, and then all of the others are sort of fairly evenly matched. There's plenty of money on offer. It's going to be at Flemington, big open track. So, yeah, hopefully they draw a good field and the form between now and then sort of emerges that we see. Yeah, another great race.
All right, so we'll leave the All-Star Mile at that. The only horse you really thought had any potential was Mr. Brightside. Moving on from that, it's Super Saturday. We've got the Newmarket, which is a 1,200-metre handicap race again. It's a real race where three-year-olds can come to the fore because of the handicap conditions. I'm playing the clip of last year's race, and of course, Imperatriz was just about favourite, I think.
Yep.
And here's Cylinder over the top, Magic Time as well there. And of course, Cylinder was a three-year-old and gets his Group 1 win.
Yeah, I mean, three-year-olds got a great record in this race. They've won 9 of the last 20 years, so that's 45% of the winners, and they've only had 21% of the runners, so they're kind of winning, you know, twice as much. As they should, I guess you could put it that way. They've won 4 of the last 6. Those 9 winners that have come since 2005 all came through the Group 1 Coolmore in the spring or the Ascot Vale in 2004 when Alinghi won it.
Yeah.
And 5 of those 9 were Newmarket winners. 5 of those 9 Newmarket winners came through Coolmore as winners and sort of went on. So that gives Switzerland a great profile. But just generally, any good three-year-old that's coming through the Coolmore, the profile says that, you know, they're worth very close consideration in the new market.
Okay, so we've got the market up here now. Let's have a quick look at that. And then you've pulled out 3 horses to talk about. So first one, Switzerland. You've talked about him a lot. Yep. He's $6 at the moment in this race. Anything more you want to add on him?
No, he just profiles terrifically well, just coming through as a Coolmore winner. As we said, like 5 of the 9 three-year-olds that have won this race won the Coolmore. Yep. So he profiles perfectly. By all reports, he's coming to this race after the Lightning, before Royal Ascot. So the other horse, I think, is Traffic Warden. He's worth looking at. James Cummings trained the last 3 three-year-olds to win this race, Cylinder, In Secret, and Bivouac. Traffic Warden actually profiles very similar to Cylinder. They've got similar peak ratings at this stage of their career. Cylinder started favourite in the Group 1 Coolmore, ran poorly on the day, same as Traffic Warden, and he returned to win the Group 1 Newmarket. So he's definitely a horse of interest. And the other one's Right to Party.
We're going to play the clip of Right to Party winning the Gilguy. Well back there, the grey in the Jonathan Munn's colours. Yep. Savage's Line, Arkansas Kid out in front. Away you go, Dano.
Yeah, big powerful finish here. And I think she's an improving sprinting mare. She's certainly a level below what it's going to take to win a new market. But the thing about her is that she just loves the straight. I think her last six runs have been there. It's like they've worked out just almost exclusively race her up the straight.
Because she ran second in the champion sprint, of course, didn't she?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So she's been, that was a lower rating edition of the race. But the fact is, it doesn't seem to be whatever level she's elevated to up the straight. She's always risen to sort of match that level. So yes. Until we see her sort of find her ceiling or even regress, we don't know where she's going to stop. So, if you're looking at older horses, she's one definitely of interest. But I think that the primary interest rests with those two three-year-old Switzerland and Traffic Warden.
Fantastic. Let's move to the William Reid, which will be on Golden Slipper Day. And we're actually going to be at Moonee Valley on that day. Now, this race is interesting in the sense that this whole idea of horses needing that Group 1 win, it could thin out a bit, but it also could end up being a really strong race if you've got the likes of Growing Empire, even Switzerland, if it hasn't got that autumn time Group 1 win, it could end up being a pretty strong race. Go and talk about some of the horses that you're interested in. Nadal, now we've discussed Nadal, might not be running over the autumn, but here's the clip of him winning the Meteorite, as you said. It was a devastating win. He's out the back there in the John O'Neill Aussie Kirk colours. Barraquil boots to the lead and Nadal puts in one of the most withering bursts of the spring.
Yeah, if you just have a look here, the turn of foot and the way he finishes powerfully, you don't often see that when you're dealing with a fairly decent group of sprinting horses. So he just absolutely smashed them and was still running away through the line. So, again, that could all be irrelevant if by the time this goes to air he is out, but... he's certainly a horse with plenty of talent, and I thought he could measure up to a race like that.
Nayance, once again, profiles well. We talked about her earlier.
Yeah, as I mentioned earlier, I just think she's an improving sprinting mare that may still have her sort of best ahead, and this race could be another one that sort of thins out. The Galaxy's on the same day in Sydney, which is a handicap race, and it's 2 weeks before the TJ Smith. So you may get some horses come to this race and then go to the TJ, but I think that the best sprinters, the leading chances for the TJ won't be coming to Melbourne and then sort of travelling back. They'll be staying in Sydney. So, again, this race, it could sort of thin out and you're sort of looking at those sort of second-tier or improving third-tier sprinters to come into the fold.
And you've also got I Am Me, I reckon one of the more underrated horses in the country, always so consistent. Profiles well for this race, you think?
Yeah, she's just a good, solid, consistent sprinter, not quite up to the top level, but she has got a great bank of consistent ratings. And if, connections are looking to dodge the very best in the TJ Smith, this seems like an obvious target for her. And she's run well Moonee Valley 1200 before. I think depending how the race stacks up, she could head down there and be one of the leading sort of chances at the time. And I think she's double-figure odds in the market at the moment.
All right, we're going to finish this off now. We're going to move to the Australian Cup, one of the great middle-distant weight for age races on the calendar, being won by some absolute champions of the turf. And when we talk about this race, Dano, it all comes down to one of the budding champions of the turf, Via Sassina. I'm pretty sure she's going to go down as one of the champions of the turf. Mm-hmm. Will she or won't she race here? That'll be very telling in the market, won't it?
Yeah, that's right. I think I'd be very surprised if they do bring her to Melbourne. By all reports, she's targeting the Queen Elizabeth, which is worth huge money. The premier sort of 2000 Group 1 in the autumn in Sydney. I think the... Randbert Stakes is a week before this race, I think it is. And if she ran there, it gives her sort of 21 days, I think, to the Queen Elizabeth, which is the same profile she went in with the Cox Plate. So I think that seems a sort of logical option. If she was to come here, she'd obviously be dominant favourite and be hard to consider any other horses, assuming she sort of returns in form. So, I guess we'll wait to hear news on her, but at this stage, I'm assuming she's going to stay in Sydney.
Is she already in sort of the top 10 horses of the modern era in Australia, or we're not ready to say that?
You probably want to see her do it in the autumn, so it's not just one prep. But, that Cox Plate win's an all-time great win of our very best race. So,
backed it up in the champion stakes.
Yeah, and she backed it up with another dominant elite performance. So I think, especially that Cox Plate win and then backing it up sort of elevates her into those sort of conversations. I'd probably like to see her do something similar in the autumn just so she's not a, sort of one prep type horse.
Yeah. And there's a couple of Waller horses who might play a big part. They control the race, really, don't they? buckaroo and a tissue.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's some chance that if E-Sustine is going well, that connections of, you know, those other Sydney-based horses may be looking to dodge her. So coming to Melbourne for a race like the Australian Cups, I think it's a perfect strategy. Buckaroo, the gelding of him was the making of him in the spring. We saw him elevate. He ran terrific rating when he won over 1,800, 102.7, went similar over 2,000 at Flemington. So I think if V-Sustina wasn't going, he would be the horse to beat in this race. And I think that in itself, for a race worth this much money, is reason to sort of come. A tissue, similar. She was third in the race last year. She ran a career best rating this track and distance at the end of the spring when she was behind V-Sustina in that Champion Stakes race.
Flemington's her track, isn't it?
Definitely. She loves Flemington, whether it's the mile or 2,000 metres. She was second to V-Sustina in that Champion Stakes. So similar, I think, you know, this race appeals as a logical target for her as well. That's certainly within her reach if there's no V-Sustina around.
Yeah, all right, we've done it, Dano. We got there.
A lot of races.
A lot to do. So that was a lot of fun. As you can see, we are all in on autumn, and that brings our preview to a close. We're putting the final touches on our slate of content over the autumn in partnership with racing.com. The Saturday set will be back next week. So forget about summer, forget about the beach. It's time to go back to work, and we'll see you next week for the first episode of the Saturday set. Up the den. Thank you for watching.